Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for your life. We thank you for all that you've given to us. And we ask that this morning you would help us to see new and afresh the great and glorious things that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have you ever been in darkness so thick that you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face? It's kind of creepy, isn't it, to be in that kind of dark where you're like, you're going like this and you literally can't see your hand in front of your face. Jesus went through a lot. We know, as we talked about a little bit last week, he was whipped and beyond recognition almost, died on a cross between two thieves after he exited down the very road he'd come in on a few days earlier, receiving praise and thanksgiving. And then there was Saturday when he was in the dark tomb. And the dark tomb is something that when he resurrected, I can imagine being so bright when that stone rolled away that it just must have been blinding. It must have been a brightness and a glory like we can only imagine. Maybe that like we'll see again one day when we see him face to face. Darkness is the polar opposite of brightness. It's understood as a lack of illumination or an absence of visible light. You know, today we get to celebrate something that no one else gets to celebrate. And that's the resurrection of a God-man that never died again. Lazarus was resurrected, right? But then we know he died again. A lot of things are celebrated in life. We all have a birth. And if you have a birth, that means you're going to have a death. And usually at your death, they celebrate your life, which is kind of funny. Maybe we should celebrate life more while we're alive, right? Yeah. But only Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that makes all the difference in the world. And if we don't know him intimately, then we will never be able to leave our own dark tomb. Until we receive our glorified body, we all figuratively carry that dark tomb with us. And the only way to bring light into our darkness, into our dark tomb, is to follow Jesus closely. Because only his light shines and makes a difference. When we don't follow him closely, we regress, and we may think we're following Jesus, and yet we can be living in darkness and not even know it. Jesus, like us, experienced the dark tomb. And I thank God this morning that he walked out, amen? Because that's the only way we can walk out. The world will tell you that education or making a name for yourself or earning money or being smarter, getting ahead, somebody dying and leaving an inheritance, although that's not bad, that all those things can help you, right, and really save you. But none of those things can save you. They can't even make you a better person. The majority of people that win a ton of money, it ruins them. And there, a ton of them will tell you, man, I wish I would have never won this. It just ruined things for my family, my relationships, my own standards of living, my own morals and whatnot. And so all the things we think will really make a difference in the end don't. There's only one thing that can make a difference, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he's the only one that can bring us out of darkness. So if you're here today and you're like, hey, look, I came to visit because it's Easter Sunday. I come at Christmas and I come at Easter Sunday. We're glad that you're here. But I wouldn't want you to leave here without knowing the truth is. And the truth is you can never leave the darkness of your tomb without Jesus Christ being your Savior. Amen? He's got to be priority and got to have that place in your heart. So the darkness and its head, Lucifer, the devil, and his demonic assembly seek to deceive, steal, destroy, and confuse, and depress, and kill by keeping folks in the dark. Sometimes he wants to pull a dark cloud over your eyes so you think you're living in the light when you're actually not. So we need to ask ourselves this morning, what did the shadows of my dark tomb look like? What do they still look like today? What are those things that we don't come forward with and come clean with that are darkness in our life that only the light can penetrate and make a difference. The only thing that brings light is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. This morning, I want to give you three things that allow the light to shine more brightly in our lives. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate our life, then Jesus can not just be a guy that died on a cross, but he can be our friend, he can be our deliverer, he can bring one that breaks bondage in our life. And the Bible says that he no longer calls us, what? Slaves, but friend. Isn't that amazing? The servant of all calls us friends. Before I go over these things, I want to make it crystal clear again that you can't follow these three things in your life if you're not born again. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's why the scripture says that if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. But it's the polar opposite of what America teaches us, that you be strong and you go it alone and you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you'll be fine. Those are all American lies. All American lies of the pioneering spirit, which can be good, amen, being a pioneer. But when you think you're a pioneer that gives you more strength than God, that's when it goes weak, amen? So you must be born again, and if you're not, today can be your day. It's as simple as saying, I am no longer going to try to control everything in my own life. I'm going to surrender my heart to God, ask him to forgive me for my sins, and ask him to save me, amen? It's amazing. That's the good news, that it's that simple. Then walking it out isn't always easy. That's why we all get together every week afterwards, amen? Try to help each other along. The first thing to do is that you must follow Jesus closely to walk in the light. Now, when Jesus first called his disciples, there was a guy, he said, you, come and follow me. And the guy said, well, let me go bury my father first, and then I'll follow you. And what did Jesus tell him? He says, let the dead bury their dead. You come follow me. Now, he wasn't saying that the guy was actually dead. It doesn't say that exactly in the scripture. So it could have been that he wanted to hang out with his dad for an extended period until he died. But the truth is, he was just looking for an excuse and a reason not to follow Jesus. And it's interesting that even to this day, that saying, let the dead bury their dead, means, hey, don't dig up the past when it's past, but keep moving forward. And really, it was saying the same thing there. He's like, look, don't get tied in with your carnal relationships with the other people that are spiritually dead. I'm offering you spiritual life right here, and you want to go back and hang out with the people that are dead until they die and then bury them? Jesus is just like, let the dead bury their dead. But the guy was looking for an excuse and wouldn't go back. Let the dead bury their dead. Folks, one thing to follow Jesus closely means that you've got to leave what's in the past in the past. What's done is done. The hurt that maybe in your family you grew up being physically or verbally abused or otherwise. You know, maybe it was a misunderstanding between people at work and they fired you and you always knew you didn't do what they said you did. It could be a family member that you really tried to help, but then he turned it around and made it something awful. Whatever it is that you hold on to let the dead bury their dead means you've got to let it go. I say it a lot, but I say, keep moving forward. God's always moving forward. We can reflect and learn on things from the past, but God is moving forward. And the only way that you can walk in the light and follow Jesus closely is if you let those things go that still haunt you from your past and keep moving forward. Amen? Amen. Amen. Follow Jesus closely. The second thing to walk in the light is you must practice humility. Again, it's the polar opposite of our United States. We're proud to be Americans, and I am too. I serve in the Air Force, for those that are visiting. I'm a major chaplain in the Air Force, and I enjoy it. I love it. And I'm very patriotic. That's why on their visitor card that was in your little M&M box, on the back of it, it has American flag on it. And so love that. Nothing wrong with being patriotic, right? But you've got to understand that the greatest military officers are the ones that realized there was a higher power than them, that served God and his business first. You've got to understand that unless we practice humility, we'll never be in a position to be able to surrender our life fully to God. We'll always be picking it up again and trying to do things on our own, trying to make things happen. And that's not God's plan for us. Whether we want justice on something that happened before or whatever it is, we've got to literally come up with ways to practice humility. So how do you practice? Well, if you practice violin, you get better at it, right? If you've got any musical aptitude at all. I think it probably wouldn't help for me. But, you know, they say practice makes perfect. Practice, practice. Well, why would it be any different in spiritual things? Why would it be any different? The way that we can practice humility is that when someone gives us credit for something, we say, well, thank you. God is good. Acknowledging God gave me that strength. When you do really well and you make a good business deal and you make $250,000 from flipping a house, you're like, God is good. God is good. He gave me the strength to be able to flip this house and do this, right? God is good. And so by the words you say, and when you work in your workplace and someone says, man, you're one of the best that I've got, you know, say, I appreciate that. I think that's a gift that God's given me, and I'm glad to use it for this company and for the glory of God. There's ways that you can speak with your words that cause you to practice humility so that you don't think one day that you're as great as everyone's saying, and then what happens? You trip and fall on your face, right? So take it from a guy with a lot of marks on his face and shin from falling so much on my shins. It's better not to fall, amen? It's better to stay humble and follow Christ closely. Anytime you read the scriptures, when I'm talking about practicing humility, I mentioned this briefly a week or so ago, but anytime you read the scriptures and the stories, every one of them, and ask yourself, this could be me if it weren't for the grace of God. Because sometimes we read these stories in the Bible and think, those dummies, why would they do that, you know? And the truth is, we all can be dummies and do the things we see in scripture, and the Bible's there for our learning, what not to do as much as is what to do. But when you read a passage about the Pharisees talking a certain way or doing a certain thing, and you think, oh, I could never do that, better to read it like, God, if it were not for the grace of God, you know, how do I do that in my life? Or what would it look like for me to do that? And always read the scriptures with humility. And then another thing you can do for humility is find you a coach, someone that's down the path of being born again and living life a little bit further down the road than you are. Or another teammate. Someone appear even to say, you know what, I trust you. Dr. Paul and I have that kind of relationship that, you know, he may say or do something and I just may flat out say, dude, that sounds like the most prideful, haughty thing I've ever heard. You know, I said, that's not right. And he does the same to me. You know, he told me, you know, your wife's right. You're being an idiot. I'm like, yeah, thanks. That's why I always love you telling me the truth and talking with me. He goes, yeah, you're just being crazy. You're crazy. Just go make things right. I'm like, yeah, all right, already. So you need someone that in your life because you don't always see things as clearly as you think. That's the whole point of needing someone to check your six or to watch your back or to cover you, amen? And love, amen, go love. And the third thing to walk in the light is that you must trust God. Now you think, oh, trust God, yeah, I trust God. Well, do we? Because one of the main reasons we want to dig up the past is because we don't think we got justice, because we don't think it was fair, because we're not getting paid as much as the nurses over there or the, you know, the hands over at that mining company get more benefits than we do, so we want to dig this up and stir a lot of things up. But really it comes down to whether we want justice, fairness, or even revenge on our enemies. We have to leave that to God and only do what the Spirit leads us to do or what we can do according to the Scriptures. That's really trust. Even when you know you're right and you want to defend yourself, folks, it's rarely that God has us defend ourselves. I'm just telling you, it's rare that he has you defend yourself because he says, I want to be your defense and I'll make things clear. I'll make things clear in the end. Amen. Only when we walk in humility can we fully trust God to take care of the situation or situations that have gone on in the past. Sometimes even in good things, we want to be working ahead and let's call this guy and let's take care of this so we can get our house built or we can go, you know, get this company started right away. And you're doing so much, but you've got to ask yourself, am I being led by the Spirit in doing these things or is this my flesh doing these things? Because your flesh can do things out of impatience, out of lack of trust, out of anxiety, out of curiosity, even out of, you know, things that seem good, like excitement. But you've still got to ask yourself to walk in the light. You must trust God. And if you're trusting God, he'll set up the times and you'll know what to say when you need to say it and he'll work with you. Does that make sense? So that you're not doing it on your own. We won't fully rely on God, which spells frog. Isn't that nice? Fully rely on God. be a holy frog. Until we abandon the idea that we trust God more fully when we understand things a little better or when we get certain answers to our questions. Folks, we'll never deepen or develop greater trust in God until we trust Him based on what we know. So many people, even those that don't come to Christ, well, I might give my life to Christ after I get some things straightened up. And they don't realize how stupid they sound. Because the whole point is you can't get it straightened up, and that's why you need Christ. Right? Right? Those that have been walking with the Lord a while just want to say, duh. You'll keep trying that forever, you know? And there's other things that people say, well, after I do this, then I'll trust it. If God would just explain to me why my baby died in the womb and I had to have a stillbirth at 9 months, you know, 9 month full term, you know, if I could just understand that, I would follow God more closely. Folks, it's not about answering all those questions and getting all your questions answered before you follow Him. That's why it's called, again, trust. And that's what faith is. That you can build your life and your trust and confidence on a God who tells you in His Word that God is love and that He loves you. And of all the things you might not be able to figure out, you know that God is love and God wants you to walk in the light. And Hebrews says, when you walk in the light in Him, there's no darkness at all. So I want to ask you this morning, are we stuck in the tomb? Are there areas of our lives that need to be freed from the darkness of the tomb? The resurrection power of the Holy Spirit will bring light and set us free if we will ask. And so this morning as Ike comes up, we're not going to close just yet, but we're going to have some folks, Jeff and Judy are going to be right over here by the steps. You guys can go ahead and stand up there. And Danielle and Missy, you guys want to come down front? They'll be down here in the front. So we made it easy. Okay, you've got folks at the front, but you don't always want to come all the way to the front for prayer. So if you're too shy for that, on your way out the door, Jeff and Judy will grab you by the ear and say, I think you need some prayer. So we got you covered. And you're not allowed to use that fire exit over there, so you're stuck. All right? But in all seriousness, we want you just to have a few minutes with the Lord to say, Lord, is there anywhere in my life where there's still that dark tomb area in my life that I need to let your light shine, that I need to really surrender to you? Maybe you're standing in the gap for a son or daughter that you know are not walking as close to you as you want them to do. God is offering resurrection power to you this morning through the power of prayer. It's one of the ways that He works, amen? If you don't know Jesus Christ and you've never accepted Him, then go to one of these prayer team members and say, pray with me, I want to be born again. I want to know Jesus like Pastor Chris is talking about, amen? So Father, we just thank You for this time of worship. We thank You, Lord, for Your Spirit here with us, Lord. Father, we just take these few moments to seek Your face, Lord, and to ask You, Lord, if there's any place in us where we want to let Your light shine more, God, that this is our opportunity, Lord. Have Your way, Holy Spirit.